I'd say the number one common thread of anybody that I work with is successful. Financial, athletes, people in politics, it's hunger. You know, you and I both know intelligence is a pretty damn valuable tool, but there are a lot of very smart people who can't fight their way out of a paper bag. And then when you find somebody who has that hunger, the hunger that doesn't go away, that hunger to be more, to do more, to give more, that hunger that never ends, you know, that's how you get these people that are the best in the world at whatever they do. And so if you can, I think everybody has that hunger, but for some people, it's been asleep for a long time because they're afraid. They're afraid that I'm going to get hungry, I'm going to try, I'm going to fail. And so it's human nature to protect yourself from the fear by just lowering your expectations. But one of the things I've learned is you get what you tolerate. You get what you tolerate in yourself, you get what you tolerate in your life. And sooner or later, we sometimes hit a point where we say, not another day, not another hour, this is done. I'm not walking this way, I'm not talking this way, I'm not living this way, I'm not going to be in this relationship anymore, I'm going to change it. And when people do that, that's the beginning of a breakthrough.
And here's something you've got to resolve. Say this to yourself every day. See, as long as you're breathing, you got to shout at your dream. That's the way I resolve. Say this, please. It's not over until I win. Got that right. It's not over till I win. Not over till I get through. It's not over till I get over. Not over till I get what I want. Door can't open today, look out. I'm gonna come back and take the hinges off. That's how you gotta do that. You've got to have that kind of courage, that type of determination. If you want to make it happen, it's you. That you've got to take personal responsibility to make it happen. That you have got to own what it is that you want to do. If it's taking care of your well-being, if it's making a difference in our school system, if it's working with senior citizens, if it's to protect our ecology, if it's to create an economic renaissance, if it's just to take yourself to another level, it's you. You've got to make that happen. We can point out many things that can make it inconvenient or can slow us down, but ultimately, it's on us. Next step is, not only is it possible and necessary, and it's you to live your dream, to make this greatness that you have within you become a reality, but what I've come to appreciate when you're working on changing your life, changing some bad habit, getting out of addictive situations or relationships, or working to build a dream or making a difference in our society, or learning something that's very challenging. Here's what I realize, ladies and gentlemen, and develop a great deal of respect for. It's hard. Easy is not an option. It's hard living. Life is hard. See, it's hard when you are 49 years old, been working on a job for 17 years, and they come in and tell you you're finished and give you 1 week severance pay. And you got to start all over again. It's hard when you're married and raising children and your children are crawling and your husband dies unexpectedly. It's hard handling just the tragedies of life. It's hard. When you're working on something and you put everything you have in it, and it doesn't work out, you lose your money and other people's money. It's hard. It was rough when I lost my job, and I could not find a job. It was humiliating and embarrassing, borrowing money, and then I couldn't pay the money back when I told them I would. That's rough. How people look at you, how they respond to you. It's very hard. It's humiliating. Here's what I discovered that happens to you in life, that you will go through things, and while you're going through them, you can't understand why it's happening to you. But after you go through it, and you get back and you look at it, and you say, oh, now I understand why I needed that lesson. Have it ever happened to you? Raise your hand. Has it ever happened to you that I couldn't understand it then, but after I got through it, then I saw that that was preparing me for bigger and better things. That as you go through the challenges of life and you look at it and embrace whatever comes to you, don't run from it, Step toward it. Don't try and duck it like most people do. See, most people want it easy. See, easy come, easy what? Easy go. See, but when you go at what you're going to deal with and you deal with the difficulties of it, when you handle those hard things close at hand, making those hard decisions right now that you don't want to make, learning those things that you don't like to do, but you know that in order for you to get where you want to go, this is one of the hoops that you have to flip through. And I'm saying to you, whatever you got to do, do it, because if you don't, life is going to whoop you until you surrender and say, okay, all right, I cooperate, okay, I learned, okay. It had to wear me out a long time. So if it's hard, then do it hard. Now, how do you hang in there during the hard, difficult times? Les, you must have faith. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe in your abilities. You've got to believe in your service, your company, your ideas, unquestionably. You've got to have faith, and that faith gives you patience. That is not going to happen as quickly as you want it to happen. A lot of things are going to happen that will catch you off guard. And so therefore, you've got to deal with and handle it as it comes. And not only that, but that faith and patience drives you into action. You've got to keep moving and keep plugging away. In the Far East, they have something that's called the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree takes 5 years to grow. And when they go through a process of growing it, they have to water and fertilize the ground where it is every day. And it doesn't break through the ground until the fifth year. Okay? But once it breaks through the ground, within 5 weeks, it grows 90 feet tall. Now the question is, does it grow 90 feet tall in 5 weeks or 5 years? The answer is obvious. It grows 90 feet tall in 5 years, because at any time that person stopped watering and nurturing and fertilizing that dream, that bamboo tree would have died in the ground. And I can see people coming out talking to a guy out there watering and fertilizing the ground that's not showing anything. Hey, what you doing? You've been out here a long time, man. And the conversation in the neighborhood is, you growing a Chinese bamboo tree, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Well, even Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder can see ain't nothing showing. You know that's how people are going to do you? So how long have you been working on this? How long have you been working on your dreams? And you have nothing to show? This is all you got to show? People are going to do that to you. And some people, ladies and gentlemen, they stop. Because they don't see instant results. It doesn't happen quickly. They stop. Oh, no. You got to keep on watering your dream. And when it began to happen, they stop laughing. They said, look, whoa, look here. Hey, man, you know, I know you could do it. Look here, you got a job here? See, during those hard times, we didn't know how you're going to make payroll. During those times when you fail and things didn't work out, they were nowhere to be found. But know what I discovered? When you're working at your dream, somebody said, the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. Oh, it's sweet to you. It's good to you. Why? See, when it's hard and there's a struggle, see, what you become in the process is more important than the dream. That's far more important. The kind of person you become, the character that you build, the courage that you develop, the faith that you're manifesting. Oh, it's something that you get up in the morning, you look yourself in the mirror, you're a different kind of person. You walk with a different kind of spirit. And people know that you know what life is, that you have embraced life. You knew it was hard, but you did it hard. Now that takes us to the next level. If it's hard, why do people do it? You ask people who do things. Why do they go it? People who climb mountains just for the sake of it. Nobody paying them to do it, just do it. Somebody said, I'm going to run around the world. He said, well, why would somebody want to do that? I'm going to swim the Atlantic Channel. Why? Why do people do that? I wondered, why would a Nelson Mandela give up 26 years of his life? Why do people do that? Here's what I discovered in high school. High school, I decided I wanted to go out for football. Never forget this. And I discovered why people do things. You know why, ladies and gentlemen? Even though it's hard, it's worth it. It's worth it. See, one day we had Coach Elkin Hepburn had this plaque down there. And this wood on the floor, on the ground. He said, Brown, come over here. Had my suit on. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to have old Larry Littles down there. Old big Larry. Yes, sir. Big, fat, sorry Larry. Yes, sir. Brown, I want you to get down bullneck. Yes, sir. He said, I want you running Larry. I want you to put your helmet right in his pit, right up and hit his chest and knock him off that board. You hear me, Brown? You can do that. Yes, sir. Can you do that? Yes, sir. I said, hubba, hubba. I said, hubba, hubba. He said, Brown, I want you to knock him off. You're going to make the team. I know you can get him, all right? Look at him. How sorry he is. Knees knocking and everything. I said, yes, sir. Then he went down to Larry. Larry Littles, who played 12 years for the Miami Dolphins, all pro for 12 years. This is a bad, big dude. 250 pounds, strength, agile, and all muscle. He said, Larry, he said, man, you know Brown down there. He's down there talking about your mom and everything. He talked about how fat and sorry you are and how he's going to knock you off this board. Larry and I spitting fire and growling and foaming at the mouth. And I'm looking at Larry saying, oh, hubba, hubba. He said, look at that fool down there growling. He told me he's going to scare you that you're going to leave. Are you going to leave? No, coach, I ain't going to leave. Go down there and knock him out the park. Boy, coach got back. He winked at me. Go get him, Brown. I went, hard. I ran into Larry with my helmet. Larry said, boom. I don't know where I landed. When they woke me up, I said, can y'all take this helmet off me for a minute? I said, y'all got any more positions out here? They said, like where? I said, don't y'all need an announcer? I said, Brown, where you going? I was crying. They said, man, some girls over there. I said, I don't care, man. I'm hurting. So that fool almost killed me, man. He said, Brown, you quit, man? I said, yeah. I said, what? I said, it ain't worth it, man. No, it ain't worth it. Y'all go ahead. Y'all crazy. I'll be your announcer, man. I was calling the game. I was up there in the booth. Call good games, too, because the pain wasn't worth it to me. And I'm saying to you, you know why people do what they do? The people who go after their stuff, what makes it worth it? It's got to be your passion. You got to love it, ladies and gentlemen. You got to love it. It's got to be what you are supposed to do. You want to sing, and even though they want to invite you to Carnegie Hall, you're going to sing to anybody that listens to you, including singing to yourself. I used to talk to my plants when nobody else would listen to me. You got to write, even if no one published your book, write because that was given to you to do. You do what it is you're supposed to. You're supposed to build something. You're supposed to create something. I don't know how to do it. Learn. Do whatever is required. Just go out there. It's possible you can get what you want. It's necessary. If you want it, you got to go into action. You got to be willing to experiment. You got to be willing to fail and to succeed. You got to be willing to form and to develop new relationships. It's you. It's on you. You got to make that happen. Nobody's going to bring it to you on a silver platter and say, here's your dream manifested. No, it's hard. Yes, it's hard. It's difficult. Yes, right. And it's worth it. People ask, hey, man, you know, these kids, man, it's rough dealing with them. That's right. That's right. You think peer pressure happened overnight? We went through peer pressure. I remember as a kid, some guys said, hey, Les, me and another fellow named Willie Lower, we were going home. Hey, man, we're going down to Gould's, man, and knock off a grocery store. I said, look here, I don't want no part of that. I'll see y'all later. say, y'all chicken. I said, that's all right, you say whatever you want. Low star. I'm not chicken, man. Don't call me chicken. Then why don't you come? We didn't even ask you to come into place, man. All you do is just drive the car, that's all. I don't know how to drive that good. Well, we're trying to get Les to come. He's chicken. Hey, I'm not driving nothing, all right? Willie, don't care about what they say, man. Leave him alone. You want to go do it? You find somebody else to drive or you drive yourself. Come on, Willie, man. Pull him. He stopped. I ain't chicken. All I got to do is drive? Yeah. I said, Willie, that sounds simple, man. Don't go, man. He went. And the next day, we read the newspaper where when they robbed the store, when they came out running to a car, the merchant, the man who owned the store, came out just shooting wildly, and he hit the driver in the head. So peer pressure didn't just start in the 90s or the 80s. It's difficult. It is challenging for kids right now. And it's going to take some easy, simple methods to help bring them out of this madness, this insanity. No. Is it hard? Yes. Let's look at what we've been doing. What has worked? What has not worked? Let's look at where we want to go. What is it that we want to produce? What is it that we want to create for our young people? And as we think about that, start experimenting with different methods and techniques to create and to produce that. And begin to believe that it's possible through our commitment, through our vision, through our determination, our relentlessness, because of our belief, it's possible that we can reduce the teenage homicide rate, the teenage pregnancy rate, the dropout rate, that it's possible looking at what kind of world are they going to be in. As we look at the global economy, that as we begin to use our collective will and genius and resources, it's possible that we can create an educational system that not only will test their minds with information and facts and figures, but will teach them how to think and be creative and what does it mean to be a human being and to value human life and how do you make relationships work? How do you bounce back from adversity? It's possible that we can give them a curriculum that will give their lives a sense of purpose and direction and meaning and teach them how to begin to know and operate on a higher level of being, where they become assets to our society rather than liabilities. What if we leave here with that kind of consciousness that it's possible, as opposed to saying we have to write this generation off, that it's possible that we were born for such a time as this and that, that maybe someone here has the idea or the method or some plan of action or an approach that can resolve many of the problems that we're facing with young people today. Whatever we have to do to save our children, it's worth it. And so that brings me to the final step, that it's necessary for us to begin to look at the future and know that it's possible that we can have our dream. Yes, it is. Other people have done it, then we can do it. We fail a lot of times. Well, a lot of other folks fail, and eventually they came back and they succeeded. So it's possible we can have what we want. And we know that we want to get it. It's necessary that we align ourselves with people that think like we do. It's necessary we get negative, do-nothing people out of our lives. It's necessary we never stop learning and growing and developing ourselves. It's necessary that we never give up. We know that it's you, it's me. It's being responsible for our stuff and deciding that we're going to keep on keeping on, that we're going to find a way to win or find a way to make it happen. And we know it's hard. It's not going to be a picnic. Yes, it's hard. It's hard. And we will do it hard. And once we do it hard and we go through it, we realize it was worth it. And once you discover it was worth it, it is done. It's done. It's done, ladies and gentlemen, before it happens. Well, here's what I'm suggesting to you. That when you're working, you have a wall to break through. Let's say a friend of mine who runs a marathon, and he says, when he's running the 26-mile marathon, he said, let's say that hypothetically, that 18th mile is the wall. He said, Les, when you get there and you're running, he says, everything in you is telling you to stop, to give up. Every muscle is aching. And you're saying to yourself, I can't do it. I can't do it. And you just keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on. It seems like you're moving at slow motion. And then eventually when you break through that 18-mile wall, then you know it's like done in your own automatic, and you glide on in, and you know it's there. You know you're going to get to the finish line. And we've all had experiences where we were working on something, and we knew it was possible, and we did those things that were necessary to bring it into reality. We took the responsibility to make it happen. Other people couldn't see it. A lot of people didn't believe it. You were attacked. You were criticized. People were opposing you, but you kept on doing it. It was hard. It was rough. It was difficult. But to you, it was worth it. And eventually, you got to a level you know, can nothing stop me now. I'm on the move. I'm on the move. Finally, I'm thinking about a friend of mine who is no longer operating on this dimension. His name is Jack Boland. He had this vision of a church that would serve various types of needs for people, their supportive needs in helping them in recovery from drugs and alcohol and whatever addictions that they might be involved in. And he was known for bringing in different kinds of speakers. And over a year ago, he was diagnosed as having cancer. And he announced to his congregation that he's going to be taking chemotherapy and that it was a possibility that the cancer would go in remission, and he was optimistic about that. And sure enough, it did for a year. And one of the things Jack always talked about is that he wanted to have his funeral while he lived. And so he invited a few friends, Wayne Dyer and myself and a few other speakers. He didn't tell us why we were there, but once we gathered there, the church, they told us in the room that Jack is going to announce to the congregation, he's bringing his doctor up, the doctor is going to say that we felt we could keep it in remission, it's out of remission, and he doesn't have much time left. And whatever words you want to say to Jack that you would say if he had made his transition, speak those words now. Well, we were shocked and we were somewhat stunned until Jack got there. They brought him in a wheelchair, and boy, was he courageous. And he had a strong smile, and they helped him up the steps, and he sat behind the podium. And each of us got up, and we said a few things about Jack and the impact that he made on our lives. And he said, the doctor, after announcing that Jack didn't have long, he says, "Doctor," he said, "I accept what you say, but it's possible that that does not have to be the case. But if it is, I will enjoy life to the very last breath I take, even the chemotherapy. I will enjoy that." And Jack did, ladies and gentlemen. And when they said that all of his vital organs were failing, they called his family and his close church staff to the hospital and said, "He's dying." And so they came and they all gathered in the room. And Jack at that time was unconscious. And he gained consciousness. And he looked at them and he said, with what strength he had, he said, "I want to thank you all for being here. You've been a great staff to me." He looked at his sons and his daughter. He said, "You've been a great family." He said, "Don't feel sorry for me." He said, I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to the next adventure." And he sat there for a little while, laid there, and he closed his eyes and he lost consciousness. About an hour and a half later, he opened his eyes and he looked at them. He said, "This is embarrassing. I'm not dead yet." They were laughing through their tears. They said, "Jack, you are a character." He said, "Hey, I hate giving up this kind of control." So they predicted that Jack would die at the end of February. And then on the 2nd, they said, "He won't see the light of day. He will be dead by morning." Ladies and gentlemen, Jack died on March 4th. And we believe that even in his dying, Jack sent his congregation a message that I want to give to you with his permission. March 4th is the day he died, and we believe Jack was saying, "March 4th. So I say, as you look into the future, while other people are giving up, feeling like victims, feeling powerless, becoming negative, turning on each other rather than to each other, feeling that they can't make it, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind with the mindset of that it's possible that we can save this generation. It's possible that we can create new industries, a new economy. It's possible that I can find a new profession, a new job. It's possible I can create a new life. And it's necessary that I become actively involved in becoming a positive force in my life and on the planet. And it's me, yes, it's you, it's all of us, pulling together, working together to create this brand new future. And it's going to be hard. Easy is not an option. But if it's hard, we will do it hard. Whatever is required to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. And it's worth it, yes. It's worth whatever we have to do. And once we know that, it is done. It is done. It is done. It is done. So I say to you, whatever your dreams are, whatever you want to do, in the spirit of Jack, march forth. This is Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy, Leslie Calvin Brown, saying it's been a plum pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege. Thank y'all here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're very kind. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're very kind. Thank you.